Before we get started, though, I have a question. Why is it pertinent, why is it important whether there was a Big Bang or whether, in fact, God created the heavens and the earth? Because there are some people, and one of the things that amazes me is among Christians, among well-taught, well-experienced, doctrinal believers, how many people are weak on creation? The fact of the matter is that there's a great deal of evidence in the scientific world as to whether God created us or whether we evolved in Big Bang. And quite frankly, the evidence for creation is overwhelming if people are actually willing, not so much able to see it, but willing to look at it. And a lot of scientists and a lot of other types of people also are simply not willing to look at it because it violates their sacred cow. It's gotten to the point where you can question everything in science, but you cannot question the sacred cow. If you question the sacred cow, they will attack you, discredit you, fire you, do everything they can to destroy you in the scientific world. Why? Because they have a sacred cow. Now, everything else in science, yes, you should question, yes, you should look at all the evidence, yes, you should wonder, yes, you should always be open to challenges with new evidence. But not this. Because the only other explanation there is to this is that God created. And so the evolutionist crowd is extremely hypersensitive to the point of having it as a philosophy more than as a science, because it is based purely on belief without any hard evidence to say it is so in this way. And when evidence does present itself, it is either ignored or it is simply explained away in such a way that you try to force it into the theory. And the problem that evolutionists have with this is that they start with a premise that evolution took place. And I'm not talking about just biological evolution. I'm talking about the general evolutionary theories, in which I'm including like the evolution of the universe and things like that as well. And there's an attempt to force things. For example, Richard Dawkins wrote in his book Selfish Gene, that was one of the dumbest books I've ever read from a scientific standpoint. It was biological philosophy, where there was motivation and intelligence attributed to DNA, to molecules. But God forbid that one should say that God, an intelligent being, created something with intelligent purpose and intelligent design, intelligent structure, intelligent blueprint. That an engineer would engineer something is outrageous if the engineer's name is God. Why is this? Because there is a sacred cow in the scientific world, and the science is the religion of secular humanism. And the scientists are the high priests often of secular humanism. And it has gone from being science to being philosophy, where you cannot question or challenge dogma. And I'm sorry, that's not science. It's absolutely not science. It has nothing to do with science. It is pure philosophy. And in order to try to give credence to the philosophy, they call it science, but it is not science. And the people who would take these dogmas, I don't care what they studied in school, and they would insist on the dogma without discussion or debate, they are not scientists. They are philosophers, but they are not scientists. And I don't care what they think they are. It is philosophy. The reason why so many people take them so seriously is because they speak authoritatively. You'll see programs, and I'm not against these programs. I think these programs are in many ways educationally valuable, like NOVA or Nature or National Geographic. And the announcer, who is a trained speaker, not a trained scientist usually, the announcer will say things with a tone of authority, the narrator. And so people say, oh, he must know. Well, with the exception of Neil deGrasse Tyson, I don't think any of them are actual scientists. And while he is not a believer, as far as I know that he adheres to evolutionary theory and the Big Bang theory. He's the only one of those people that I know that is a scientist, a legitimate scientist. And why is it that these people who call themselves scientists will not allow discussion of their dogma? Because their dogma is not science, it is religion. And it was defined as such by the Supreme Court in 1972 when they declared secular humanism to be a religion. So this is simply an extension and an attempted support, attempted credence for secular humanism. God didn't create, we evolved. Life began spontaneously, even though we know that life cannot begin spontaneously. That has been conclusively proven. We know that matter cannot be created or destroyed, but matter at one point simply arose. And they'll say things like Hawkins said that gravitation alone was sufficient to create matter. Gravitation is produced by matter. You don't have gravitation if you don't have matter. It is a very basic. Turn to your Physics 1 college textbook and you will see that. But at the same time, we are told that these things are so, and what disturbs me is how many believers buy into this because they are intimidated by the world's crowd saying this is so. Well, the world's crowd wasn't there when it happened. The world's crowd does not have the corner or the market share on truth or even evidence. As a matter of fact, the world's crowd doesn't have a pittance for evidence. If you ask an evolutionary, young people listening on the internet, ask your teachers and your professors, this is perfectly legitimate, it's not disrespectful in the least, when they discuss Big Bang and evolution, ask them, what evidence do you have to prove that this is so? And I will guarantee you the vast majority of them cannot produce any. And those that do produce some evidence will produce evidence that is purely theoretical. You have to accept the premise in order to be able to establish the evidence. And so, you're talking about things that are highly unscientific. It's called circular reasoning. You need to accept the notion to find evidence to support the notion. But this is not how God is. Now, why does it matter whether or not a Big Bang arose? We were talking a little bit about it earlier. Some people, Christians, well-known, even apologists, buying into the Big Bang theory, that God caused the Big Bang. How do we know that this is incomplete? Because they say it has no contradiction to the Bible. I beg to differ. As a matter of fact, I don't beg at all. I just outright differ. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. The Bible says it plainly, and it does not say anything that in any way allows for a Big Bang. How do we know this? What are some of the things that tell us this? Anybody? Genesis 1. By the way, there are two quick dirty tests of a ministry. What they're really about. What their fruit's going to be like. What do they do with soul winning? And what do they do with Genesis 1? With Genesis 1, do they believe the Bible? With soul winning, do they obey the Bible? I would not put a plug nickel on a group that doesn't soul win on purpose with an organized program. I'm not talking about legalism, but I'm saying they should have a program to do it. And I wouldn't put a plug nickel on a group that's willing to compromise with God's creation. Because if they're willing to compromise that, they're willing to compromise anything else if you put enough pressure on them. And that's an easy one to compromise, because after all, the scientific world says, well, it didn't really happen. The Bible is a mythology book. Baloney. The Bible was here long before anybody on this planet that's here right now, and it'll be here long after. Like Voltaire said, in 100 years, the Bible would be dead, Christianity would be dead. 100 years later, his house was a Bible printing shop. Voltaire was a fool. And I don't care how much you want to get up in your head, Voltaire was a fool. Anybody who says the Bible is not true, anybody who says there is no God, Psalm 14 verse 1, Psalm 56 verse 1, they're a fool. So, how do we know that the Big Bang is in opposition to the Bible? Does the Big Bang agree with the Bible? And how do we know if it does or does not? Can anybody give me any specifics? The order. From a scientific standpoint, the order. God does things decently and in order, and in fact, the universe is extremely orderly. From the very largest structures, which are hundreds of millions of light years in size, to the very smallest structures, which we need the most sophisticated electron microscopes to even see their outlines. They are all extremely orderly. What else? Very good. Genesis says several times that everything that God made, He spoke it into existence. It does not say that it banged into existence. It says it was spoken into existence. What else? Yeah.
Amount of time for creation, 7 days, not like 9 billion or 14 billion.
Okay, the Bible says it happened in 6 days, and on the seventh day God rested. It does not say it took billions of years. Those people who say that there are billions of years in between the days, they are not scholars. They don't know how to study the Bible. They don't know how to compare line upon line or precept upon precept. They do not have standing in science nor in scripture. The Bible makes it clear that a day is a day. It's a 24-hour period, evening and morning. One rotation of the planet. In the Hebrew, it's very clear. The Hebrew tradition is talking about 24-hour periods being a day. The Hebrew tradition does not refer to the day in Genesis 1 as being anything other than that. Additionally, like Andrew pointed out that one time, if it was billions of years, just how many billions of years could the plants last without the sun? Because the plants were created on the third day and the sun on the fourth. Another thought is, how did Eve come about? What about Adam's rib? Eve is not said to have evolved in any way. Eve is said to have come out of Adam's rib. But evolution requires a male and a female. It requires reproductive systems. It requires that, or evolution cannot take place. How did the reproduction come about when the Bible says that the woman was taken out of the man? We are told that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. If you study those words out, the earth is what we consider to be the earth, and heaven is a vast expanse. In other words, God did not create the universe at that point. He created the earth and the space that it is contained in. He did not give a size to the space, but it was simply an expanse. And it was not until the fourth day that the stars and the sun were created. The moon was created also on the fourth day. The first 3 days were simply the earth. That is entirely contrary to the Big Bang. To accept the Big Bang means you are going to dismiss the first 4 days of the Bible, first 4 days of creation. Throw out Genesis 1 if you want to accept the Big Bang theory. Just tear it out of your Bible. You don't believe it. By the way, you might not be saved. Because if you remove anything from this book, God will remove your name from the book of life. How else do we know? Because when God created the stars, He set them in their courses and He put them in place to be there for signs and for seasons. In other words, the stars had very specific locations. They were not simply random movement. They were very specific locations that God set them in for a very specific purpose. And in Psalm 14, we know that the purpose of the stars and this astrological information that is not perverted by things like horoscopes, that's simply a vile perversion, but the real astronomy of the constellations and all, and the story behind those constellations, have been honored and agreed upon by all the civilizations that have been on Earth, and they are not connect the dots, they are simply representations in the stars, and they tell the gospel story. The attack on creationism of the cosmos is because it attacks the Bible. It attacks the gospel, that is, it is written to all those who do not possess the Bible. This is why no man has an excuse. And every civilization has understood their meanings. There has never been a time when those meanings were not understood in their correct interpretation. And there's a number of books written about this by a number of very good scholars. Personally, I like Peter Fleming's book, God's Voice in the Stars. It was a good book. So, when we hear stuff like the Big Bang, God set the Big Bang, you don't know what you're talking about. Read your Bible. Believe the Bible more than you believe some unsaved moron just because you went to school. I'm sorry, I went to school. I have 6 college degrees, and I'm not impressed by some guy having half my education. Makes me very angry when I hear attacks by Christians on the Genesis account. If you don't believe Genesis 1, you don't believe the Bible. Period. Open it up. You'll find it does start there. How do we know that it happened this way? God said it. Is there evidence out there? Yes, there is. Why is the Big Bang even existent? Because in 1929, Edwin Hubble found galaxies that are red. To this day, college professors are still teaching that all the galaxies are red, when we know completely well that that is completely inaccurate. There are photographs. Many good astronomers have photographed the blue galaxies. Harold Schlosser photographed them. Anthony Tyson photographed them. And Anthony Tyson, as far as I know, accepts the Big Bang as an explanation, and he still photographed the blue galaxies. He said 20 billion physics today, 1992 and 1986. 20 billion blue galaxies. And if we're going to hold with consistency to the reasoning that allows for the notion of the Big Bang, then we have to allow for the fact that the blue galaxies contradict the Big Bang. The Big Bang came from the idea that red galaxies indicate that everything is moving away from us because of the Doppler effect. The waves appear to be lengthened. The light waves appear to be lengthened, and therefore they appear red. If we are to stay consistent, then we will have to acknowledge the fact that because of that very same Doppler effect, if wavelengths are contracted by something moving toward you, they appear more contracted, then they will appear blue. We know that there are galaxies moving towards us. We know that Andromeda, the closest galaxy to us, is blue. As a matter of fact, the Sagittarius dwarf, according to the American scientists, according to Scientific American, is going right through us. It's intersecting us. So don't tell me that there's no evidence in support of the Bible. The Bible says that God did it decently in order, and sure enough, there is precise geometric patterning in all the universe. I don't care the scale you're looking at, from monstrously large to unbelievably minute. There is precise geometric patterns and precise order that repeats over and over in the entirety of the universe. This is why so many physicists, the scientists who are most open to God, are the physicists. Why? Because they can't deny what they see. They know that an eruptive event such as the Big Bang should not be producing high amounts of sustained order. And so we know that the scientific evidence supports the explanation given in the Bible, whereas we cannot even begin to explain where the primordial particle actually came from that the Big Bang crowd says originated the universe. They can't even tell us, well, where did that come from? And these spineless, wimpy Christians who are willing to compromise say, well, God originated the primordial particle and then it banged into being. Well, I'm sorry, you don't have a leg to stand on scientifically nor scripturally. The middle road is the road where you really get in trouble. So we know very well how it happened. The Bible says that God created all things that were created, and all things were created through the Savior. We know this. We know that it was the Spirit of God that moved upon the deep. We know it was the Spirit of God that breathed breath, the breath of life, into all living things. Why is something alive? Scientists can't tell us that. They can't even tell us what constitutes dead. You know what they say constitutes dead? Permanent absence of consciousness. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't really think that plant out there has a whole lot of consciousness. It may have some biochemical responses, and it has things that show us it's alive, but I don't think it has an identity. I don't think it has any self-awareness. It does have biochemistry. You can hug it all you like, it's not going to hug you back. The Bible says what it says. You don't want to believe it, that's your business. But there's also a heaven and a hell. So the same Bible that tells you how to get saved is the Bible that told you that God created the heavens and the earth, and that God created all things. And their evidence is out there to back it. All you have to do is be willing to look at it. But too many people are not. Gets me angry. Try to discredit God with your stupid, mindless philosophies. Got news for you. Your philosophy is going to last a total of 5 minutes. The Word of God is established forever. I don't care who likes it, who doesn't like it. Tell you one thing. 2 minutes after you're dead, you'll know the truth.